Welcome back to We Are No Experts, the final episode. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Hamilton.
Wait, is this news to everybody? Just me? What are we doing?
April Fool's, I guess.
Oh, it is April Fool's Day. Oh, you got me. That's for sure. I was like, oh no.
No, we've been doing this long. We're going to stick it out for episode 100 at a minimum, right?
Yeah, we should have come up with a better April Fool's joke, Jonathan.
Well, I don't think there is any such thing as a good April Fool's joke, personally. So.
No, I forgot it was April Fool's Day, and April Fool's is kind of bad, right?
I agree. I don't really enjoy it.
We should have had the foresight, though. Sometimes we do like themed episodes based upon holidays. Like we've done a Christmas episode and possibly Easter or 4th of July. I don't remember, but
yeah,
we could have done an April Fool's episode today.
I guess. I don't know that I have a whole episode's worth of April Fool's takes though. It just kind of sucks and that's it. I guess we could have talked about pranks more generally, but even then I don't have a lot to say about pranks for the most part.
Do you have anything memorable that you've been on either side of, prank-wise? You were the prank-er or the prank-e?
There's one that is not the most wholesome thing and doesn't really reflect well on me.
Jonathan, our podcast has an MA rating. It's fine. You can talk about it.
It wasn't my idea. I'll throw that qualifier out, but I went along with it, so I deserve some heat for it. One of my girlfriends in high school had the idea to prank the assistant principal's son into thinking that she and I were brother and sister. And, like, you know, did it slow to where he actually, like, bought it. Because, like, we didn't do, you know, a lot of PDA or anything like that, and we didn't really talk about the fact we were dating, right? And then she like walked up to me one day and just like planted, you know, a tongue kiss on me in front of him, and his mouth was like, his jaw was like hanging open.
Yeah, this is fine. I don't see much of a problem. I think that's fairly funny, right? You're not Yeah, I don't have a problem with that prank.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It was somewhat amusing, and it was certainly nicer than the usual type of jokes that we would play on that guy, because, you know, he was the assistant principal's son, so fuck him, right?
When did you tell him that it was a prank and that you guys were not related?
We did it, like, immediately, because I didn't want him, like, going around, you know, stirring up mess, telling people something that wasn't true. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was one of those things where you had to finesse it, right? Like, I don't know. Like, we were all on, like, drill team together. And so, like, we would pretty frequently be, like, around each other after school, you know? So it wasn't like, you know, in the middle of class, 20 people overhearing a conversation type thing. We would just kind of pepper conversation with like hints, you know, what are you going to do when we get home? And, you know, that sort of thing while it was just him around during practice. So it was like real controlled, you know what I mean? And we hipped him to it like right away, basically.
That's good.
What about you? Any good pranks?
Nothing that comes to mind. My wife and I like to do stupid pranks every once in a while. But it's just kind of like, you know, jumping out from behind the other side of the wall and scaring each other. And it's slowed down quite a bit as we've gotten older. And I forget to do it now. Oh. And yeah, I don't know why. It was a funnier thing. I still would.
You got to stoke the fire, man. You got to keep that magic alive.
Yeah. I need to revise that a little bit, or revive that a little bit, both. And, come up with something fresh and new and try to do some more pranks.
Whenever we're out of COVID, you should arrange like a woolly gram for her.
I want a woolly gram. I might woolly gram myself. And next Valentine's Day, I'm going to get a woolly gram for myself. Especially if we were like at an office. I know you ran into woolly at the office once.
Yes.
And I want people to think that woolly's there for me.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, I guess that's all that needs to be said about pranks. I'm sure there's like mean things that I did as a kid that might technically qualify as pranks, but they're not really worth unpacking now.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that. Those aren't pranks. That's just better left. Let sleeping dogs lie. Am I right?
Yeah, there you go, man. That's an idiom that I think is like fairly obvious and damn near literal, right? It's obvious why you would want to do that. Don't mess with an animal that could bite you.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, no point in getting into that one.
All right, so you mentioned a few follow-ups.
I do have a couple follow-ups. So let's start with the more recent one because it's easy. Last episode, we were talking about pets and animals, and yeah. I was getting into the fact that there's a pet show that we watch on TV that is basically internet videos of, like, it's the kind of thing that most people would watch on, I suspect, YouTube or whatever, but yeah. I just flip it over there during commercials to this channel.
Because you're 70 years old and exactly. You don't know about YouTube. Yeah.
Right. Precisely. Yeah. So anyway, a lot of what I see are weird birds that people have. And we talked about like the little creature. I didn't know what it was. And it turns out it's a bush baby that some people
I said,
seem to own as a pet.
Yeah. I said I, and no one corrected me.
Well,
but you're right.
What difference are there between those things?
Who knows? They're probably both endangered anyway.
They look similar. So sometimes people's pet birds will do these really crazy, intricate dances where they bop their heads and things like that. Mm-hmm. Do your birds do anything like that?
Not complicated. They have like little hops and stuff that they do. Where it gets more complicated is with the singing. They have different songs that they sing. And different like noises, and like they'll incorporate tapping on things into it, and you know, it's a good indicator of what their mood is or whatever. Or sometimes even if you hear a certain song, you can kind of guess like what triggered it, like what was the stimulus, and you can kind of tell what they're doing without having to go upstairs and see, which is kind of cool.
Huh. All right.
I don't know.
I like the crazy dances.
I'd get into more detail, but I don't think it's actually that interesting for the podcast. It'd be more interesting in video, maybe.
If you're listening and you've never watched one of these, fire up YouTube and, I don't know, type in crazy pet bird dance. I think I couldn't tell you what kind of birds they are. They're all parrots to me.
I think cockatoos have some pretty complicated dances, and they usually respond really well to music. They can, like, bob their heads in time with a beat and things like that.
Sometimes they'll be looking in a mirror and be doing it to maybe themselves, I guess. I'm not really sure if they think they're their own mate or if they, you know, it's like an aggression thing, or I have no idea. But yeah, that's just something I see sometimes.
There's like a term for the phenomenon of recognizing your reflection as yourself. And like chimpanzees know that the reflection is them.
Right. Most animals can't.
Right. And I honestly can't tell with the birds whether they know.
I think they know that there's another bird there, but they don't realize it's themselves. And that's why when they do a movement, they're not catching on to the fact that that's them. And that's why they'll do things like try to fight themselves in their own reflection.
I've never seen that.
Really?
You know, I bet that'd be funny.
Yeah. So back in office days, there was a buzzard that would land on the window outside of near where I sat. This is like five floors up, and you know, it's office windows, so they're kind of reflective on the outside.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can't see in very well, but you can see out, that kind of deal. And this thing would just jump at itself in the window and like smack into it, like beak first. Like, man, it was kind of crazy. It was a little frightening because those things are one big and two, like, you know, pretty fugly. It's kind of crazy. Like, yeah, so at some point I probably, you know, recorded a little bit of it on my phone, but I'm sure it was bad because, you know, my phone generally is bad. moving on, though. So this is something from, I don't know how many episodes ago, but do you remember when we talked about wallets?
Oh, yeah. And I kind of was talking about how, like, every other Kickstarter is for a slim wallet, right?
Well, I finally pulled the trigger on one.
Oh,
I mean,
nice.
I didn't really need to do it much during the pandemic because I don't get out a whole lot, and sure. I don't take my wallet. You know, right. If I do, it's like a walk around the block. Yeah. And so, but I bought one. I bought like the Ridge style wallet. I don't want to compare it to Ridge because they're expensive and they're probably better and so forth. But just to give you the idea, it's like one of those RFID carbon fiber, mm-hmm. you know, type things with the money clip on the outside. Yeah, that lasted all of 5 minutes. I only have like five cards. Like I have maybe two credit cards, a driver's license, and like, I don't know, a fucking insurance card or something, right? Mm, yeah. And that's in there. And then generally just a couple bucks of cash, right? I hated it. Like I got it all in there and I was like pretending like, you know, how it would go if I used it. And just, I think I had to take like basically every card out just to get to the one I wanted. Like there was no really quick and easy way just to just slide one of the cards out only. And I'm pretty minimal as it is. And my wallet, I just, boom. It's like, it's for me anyway, it was trying to solve a problem that just wasn't a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely get that. I really like using my phone to do Apple Pay and not even pulling my wallet out whenever I can. It's super convenient. Sonia goes a step further and has like a case for her phone that all of her, you know, cards and stuff slot into. So it's kind of like a wallet phone case, and that works really well for her. But yeah, I hear you. So what
are you probably won't surprise you to know I don't have an NFC capable phone.
What are you going to do with your wallet though if you're not going to use it?
That thing went back to Amazon the next day.
So no endorsement for the Ridge style, the Ridge alike that you bought.
yeah, exactly. I'm not knocking Ridge. They probably make a fine product. If I was, you know, splurged for the actual Ridge brand, it probably would have been something I would have kept for life. But I didn't. It was a knockoff, and maybe that's why. I don't know. Either way, I didn't like it.
Did they send you an email saying write us a review and we'll give you like a $10 Amazon gift card or anything?
That never happens to me.
Really? Oh, yeah. No. I guess you don't order enough cheap Chinese shit.
Yeah, no, I never get that.
I get
I'm kind of glad though.
Yeah, they're a little annoying and very scummy, but like I always get it when I order like a screen protector or something like that, or like a, you know, thumb drive or something.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that seems like the type of thing that would do it. And you know what? It's amazing how you can be looking at like, I don't know, like screen protectors or like those little fucking slide things that go over your webcam,
your camera.
Yeah, and they'll be like, they're all the same, right? And you're reading it like looking for the one that's like got a half a star better overall review out of the thousands of reviews on them. And I just like, I'll waste an hour looking at that and I'll be like, why didn't I just buy one? Who cares?
Yeah. Like anymore, I don't really care how much something costs. I try to get more of a feel for how likely is it that this was produced using slave labor or something like that, you know?
Well, and it's on Amazon, Jonathan.
Yeah, that's true. Amazon's playing the tune and we're all just dancing to it, man.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that I could just divorce myself entirely from shopping on Amazon, but we're so entrenched.
You could.
I guess, maybe. We'll see.
Well, there was a good article. I'll give this. This is super interesting. It was pre-pandemic. This was maybe 2 years ago now. And I want to say it was on Gizmodo probably. But do you remember where one of the writers, she had like a friend set up like a, essentially like a firewall so that like it was blocking like all Amazon services. So,
Amazon Web Services and also like Google Cloud stuff too, right?
Right. So
yeah.
No, they did them separately. It was like,
okay.
I lived for X amount of days without Amazon. I lived for X amount of days without Google. And then, but Amazon was so hard because of AWS, right? Yeah.
Like, and that's where they make,
if you just decided not to shop on Amazon or say at Whole Foods or something.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to use AWS, like all other kinds of websites are going to go down to you.
Yeah. And my understanding is that like, it's like a much bigger profit margin for AWS than it is like physical goods bought through Amazon.com. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've read the same thing.
So like boycotting Amazon for physical or even digital purchases is, I don't want to say pointless, but I guess largely symbolic. I don't know. Yeah, like I buy a lot of digital comics and ebooks, and I've got a Kindle. Like what am I going to do? That's where I buy this stuff.
Get a Nook, Jonathan.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Great.
Kobo? K-O-B-O? Is that one? Something like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
It's there's like a few. There's an
anagram for book. Yeah. But like I've got such a library built up though. And like, you know, Sonia's got an Amazon Music subscription too. So like we're kind of entrenched, and it's hard to move away from stuff like that. Now, that having been said, it's not a damn hardship. I could cancel Spotify or anything else that you want and I would survive, obviously. But I don't know. There's probably more effective forms of direct action that we could participate in. I'll leave it at that. We need not get overly political, I guess.
I already know what you're thinking anyway, so we've had this discussion.
Actually, I was thinking of something a lot more moderate than killing and eating my rich.
Oh, my bad.
Although not that moderate, it was sabotaging delivery trucks and shit like that.
All right. Not all views expressed by Jonathan are views of the show.
Hey, I didn't say it was a good idea or legal. I just said it would be more effective direct action than boycotting.
So, next follow-up is something from just a couple episodes ago, right? Mm. We were talking about specifically superpower, but it was very much one in general. And the thing that occurred to me.
Can I interrupt? Before we move off the consumerism part, I wanted to mention, in case I hadn't told you, I actually managed to get my hands on a PlayStation 5 finally.
Oh, it showed up?
Yeah. Yeah.
You told me that you were like able to purchase one, but you weren't sure if it was actually going to get delivered.
Yeah, that's right. Because like there was all kinds of errors during checkout, and it wasn't clear to me whether or not, like, even though the order got confirmed, I didn't receive a shipping confirmation for a while. But yeah, it finally came. Thank goodness. I feel so relieved.
Nice. Now you can play Madden 2021.
Well, I don't know about all that. A, do they still make Madden? And B, I don't play Madden.
I don't know. That's the only thing I know. And I assume it's still going.
I need to, I want, bring back Mutant League Football. I guess they already did that, though.
Yeah, what's Tecmo another, Bowl?
Tecmo Bowl, yeah. Or
certainly there's a Final Fantasy game still going, right?
Oh, yeah. They just did like a big remake and reimagining of Final Fantasy VII. And it was only like 4 or 5 years ago that Final Fantasy XV came out.
Jesus, man.
Yeah.
I don't think I got past two. Maybe I played three.
I was never a Final Fantasy dude, but Sonia loves them. And she's played like almost all of them. So, you know, if you have any questions about Final Fantasy, I refer you to her.
But they've moved from, because that was definitely a Nintendo product. So it's moved from Nintendo to what, everything? PlayStation or
yeah?
Is Xbox still a thing?
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, for okay. sure. Yeah, yeah. No, they've gone multi-platform. There hasn't been a Final Fantasy on a Nintendo platform since, I'm gonna get this wrong, and someone's gonna correct me, but I think 6 was the last one.
Let me tell you something. No one's going to correct you.
Well, if you'd like to correct me, mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com. Drop any Final Fantasy related news or trivia that you care to send in. I'd say we'd love to hear it, but I don't really care. And we probably won't ever mention it on the show. But there it is.
Oh, you know what? If you can come up with a Final Fantasy topic that we will use that. I mean, we're not just going to use it because you did it, right? But if it's show worthy, then I would love to know it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine what that would look like.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be either. Yeah, so it's probably something to do with
What would it take?
Are airships a big thing in Final Fantasy still?
Yeah, that's a recurring thing. Like every it's game, a recurring thing. Basically. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What would it take to get you to actually play a Final Fantasy game that you haven't played, since there are so many in the series that you haven't played.
Yeah, right. So don't like, I can't just bust out my emulator and play the original Final Fantasy game anymore.
Well, I mean, you can certainly do that, but I'm talking about what would it take to get you to play one you have not played?
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm too old to learn new things, Jonathan.
Man, I know you've seen them, like, articles about, like, the 80-year-old grandma that plays Skyrim and stuff. If she can learn, you can learn.
Okay, I don't want to learn new things, Jonathan. I do, just not that. I'll be honest.
All right.
It got too complicated, right? For me, anyway. I liked it when things were simple as far as video games go. And then if you stuck with it, it's fine. You stayed, you know, like, relevant or good at those. But if you didn't, it's such a big jump to like, anytime I've tried to pick up a newer game and somebody's like, this is easy, you'll get it, I just get bored with it, or they kick my ass really fast. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Can we play Super Mario now?
Well, I'm not, I guess, not necessarily throwing you in the deep end with, like, the most recent game or anything, but you didn't play any of the ones on Super Nintendo, and those can't be...
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. Because I seriously think only the first one was just NES.
I think, like, 1 and 2 were on the NES.
Maybe, but I definitely played one that was Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Okay. You just never played Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation.
I certainly didn't get past 3, if I even played 3. Okay. If I played 3, that was the last one, for sure. I can promise you that.
Right on.
And the same thing would probably be true with any of those, like Dragon Warrior or... Was Dragon Warrior the big Sega? No, that was still Nintendo. What was the big Sega one? Phantasy Star.
Yeah, Phantasy Star. Yep.
I probably played maybe up to 2 or 3 of that, too. I mean, are those series still going?
There have been 2 Phantasy Star MMOs, and I think the second one is still technically running. I think some fans actually run servers for the original Phantasy Star Online, but it's not, like, officially supported by Sega anymore. I don't know what the last Phantasy Star game was, but Sega hasn't made home console hardware in many years now.
Okay. So. Yeah, see, I had a Genesis, and there was a few like RPGs that were pretty cool that I don't think ever really became series, even, you know. Shining in the Darkness, is that one?
I don't know. I didn't
there,
know
there was a couple of those that were pretty fun, and then I remember playing through and beating, but you know, taking the time to actually play through. But it's all so simple. It was so similar. There's only 3 fucking buttons. You know? What
are you gonna do? Well, the systems in RPGs can be pretty complicated, even if there aren't a lot of buttons. But we need not get into all that.
Yeah, instead, we're going to talk about
your other follow-up. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking a couple weeks ago about like having a Mystique-style superpower, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of automatically jumped to the premise, and I think this was even somewhat safe to say with that one, that you'd want it, right? Like if you had the opportunity to have Mystique's abilities, you would most certainly want them. Why would you pass up on that, right?
Sure.
But that got me thinking, are there any like abilities, superpowers that I would pass up on if given the opportunity? So again, we got the fucking genie that's giving you the chance, like, to take a superpower right here. Then you don't get a chance to sleep on this. Do you want this? Yeah or nay? And it's up to you to be like, but you can pass up on it. And then nothing happens. You're just you.
Okay. All right. So you are talking kind of generically, right? Like,
we can unpack it a little bit, but here's what I'm not talking about, right? Like, super strength. Cool. Superman has super strength, you know, among other things. Like, of course I want that. That's an easy one. But I'm not talking about being the Incredible Hulk, right? Nobody wants to be Bruce Banner and to have the extra baggage that comes with that, right?
Okay.
Even though he has super strength, you'd be like, I want the Hulk strength, but I don't want to turn into this monster, right? And also not be able to control myself to some extent, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Well, okay. I'll challenge you on the super strength a little bit, actually, because think about it. You would have to, exercise extreme self-control, depending on the scale of super strength we're talking about. Like, how many times have you done something where you've applied too much of your regular strength And it's like, oh, wow, geez, I didn't realize, you know, that was so light or that was so delicate or that I, you know, was putting that much force into it. You broke something, you hurt someone you didn't mean to. It's going to be 10 times, 100 times worse with super strength.
I'm going to assume you can learn to control it because in most of these situations, the characters that have those abilities do learn to control it.
Okay.
And I get that you might not be able to at first, and there might be some kind of learning curve with it, but I'm thinking I would be able to overcome that.
Okay. All right. How about what's another basic one that has some downsides that we might not be considering? Well,
I'll get into the first one that I thought of.
Oh, yeah, please.
I absolutely would not want.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The ability to read minds.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, why not?
I think that, because it's dark, man. I don't want to know what other people are thinking all the time. Like, it's private. It's like an invasion of privacy. Also, people's minds, like, you think about your own mind. Sometimes I think things that, like, I don't want to be thinking. Don't worry, you don't have to, you know, like, send me to therapy or anything. But I think that's normal. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's, like, sometimes you can't control your own thoughts in that they turn to a place where you certainly, like, want to keep that to yourself and be like, oh, man, like, maybe I need to, you know, turn this thought around or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think it's a perfectly normal thing to think things that, like, you wouldn't say out loud or that you would have some kind of self-control over. And I don't want to know that about other people. I don't want to know what they're thinking.
But wait, doesn't the fact that you're aware of that give you some empathy for what other people may be thinking? Like, especially if they're having, like, intrusive thoughts or something. It's not their fault. Are you really going to be that surprised or that put off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there's just no other way except if I knew what everyone was thinking all the time. I don't see any good that I can. There's probably some good that can come of it, but it more so than anything, I think it's just going to isolate me and make me feel lonely, and I don't want any of that.
I agree. I think reading minds is kind of an inherently immoral ability, and it doesn't appeal to me in the slightest. When I ran like a superhero role-playing game for my role-playing group, we were focused very heavily on civics and how superheroes interact with the law and the political systems of the cities that they inhabit and things like that, which I know sounds very exciting. But the whole premise was that they were these young superheroes who had been recruited for this sort of civic rebuilding campaign in the wake of like a supervillain war that left most of the other heroes dead. Right. So the city like really needed some help. And it's like, okay, we're going to effectively like deputize you guys and you're going to help with the disaster recovery and security and things like that. And one of the things that I had to do preparing for that game was figure out how does mind reading interact with the legal system? Like if you read someone's mind and you learn that because they're thinking about a crime they committed, that they definitely committed the crime, is that admissible in court? And where I landed on that was no, right? Because it's a Fourth Amendment violation, basically. You know, you didn't get a subpoena to search their mind, you know, or a warrant, rather. And so, like, that really limits its effectiveness in some ways if you're trying to do things like, again, legally, ethically. So, yeah, I get where you're coming from. I think I would dodge mind reading, too. That's not the first thing I thought of, though. The first thing I thought of, and I know you said keep it kind of generic, but I couldn't help myself. The first thing I thought of was Rogue's ability from X-Men, where she absorbs the like powers and memories of someone by touch. Because she has no control over it, right? It's unconscious. Like, if she touches someone, it just zaps them. And
yeah, that would suck.
Generally harms them and is not good for her mental health either because that little piece of them gets stuck in her head, you know, and she can't be herself, essentially.
That's a good one because, I'll be honest, after mind reading, I had a hard time thinking of anything else I would pass on. I'm like, no, everything else, I'd be like, yeah, I'm good with that.
Well, I'll give you one that maybe maybe you would pass on, like a healing factor. I know it sounds super good at like first. ET? No, not to heal other people, just for you yourself to regenerate. Like Wolverine has.
Oh, like Wolverine.
Yeah.
Oh, either way, yeah, I'll tell you what, ET or Wolverine, either way I'm in. There's no way. Convince me I need to pass up on this.
All right. So, with Wolverine's thing, like his whole deal is he heals incredibly fast and he can heal from, injuries that, you couldn't heal from normally. Like he's been shown to regenerate his own limbs and things like that. Right. The thing is, if I get hurt bad enough, I think I'd rather just die. Like I don't want my head to get cut off and then I have to regrow an entire body from the stump of my neck. No, thank you. Like I could do without that.
Yeah, because he does seem to feel the pain, right?
Yes, exactly. Like it still hurts, and really all it means is you're gonna feel some extreme hurt even longer because you won't just friggin' die or go into shock or whatever fast enough. And I don't like the sound of that.
I'm taking it. I don't care. It's worth it. No. No.
Now,
but you know,
yeah.
You know what I just thought of?
What's that?
This is definitely off topic, but so plenty of superheroes in comics like DC and Marvel are some sort of, you know, Martians, right? From other planets.
Yeah.
ET could definitely be a superhero.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Yeah, I wish ET was. ET could join like the JLA, and that would be awesome.
Oh man, imagine if it was ET instead of Martian Manhunter. Yeah. Superman. Put him in a little costume, a little cape. That's great.
He doesn't do a whole lot though.
No, but he.
But
can,
he's funny.
He can levitate things though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good.
He would add levity to the group.
He'd be a good like support superhero maybe. So with ET type healing, it's been a while since I last watched the movie, but you gotta make physical contact, right? And it takes his own energy to heal people, right? Like it knocks him out. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So if you had the ability to do that, wouldn't you like change what you do for a living? Basically, wouldn't you try to get in at a hospital or something like that so you could use it as often as possible
on
people who need it?
I don't even know if I would. If you need to be employed, man, you could just be like, you know what I mean? I mean, maybe
just hang out in the parking lot.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know if I would want to be employed by a place. Like, it seems like it might be more advantageous to be, like, go the actual superhero route and just, you know, like, get the police scanner and just show up at the scene of the accident and you know, work your magic right then and there before, like, maybe you can get there quicker than the actual paramedics can.
Are we presupposing then that there are other superheroes and it's not that surprising that you're able to do this, or are you kind of unique?
Oh, I was assuming I'm unique, like that none of this exists.
Yeah, well, guess what? The government is going to kidnap you and vivisect you to figure out how it works.
Shit, of course. It always ends with that, just like E.T.
Right? That's right.
That's what they did to E.T. Right. That's what they're going to do to me.
Yeah, and hashtag fuck the police. Jesus. That I think that's a caveat of just about any superpower, at least the ones that are obvious. Like your healing factor, you could probably get away with faking it. Healing other people, less so, right?
Because it would be worth it though.
You think so?
I mean, you'd have to try. You'd have to try to figure out and proceed with caution at first, right? The safest way to go about healing others, right? And maybe you do get a job as, you know, sweeping floors at a hospital, right? And just doing it as quietly as you can. Or maybe you just try to, like, you know, like I said, get a police scanner and show up on the scene of some places, you know?
But are you not concerned about the effect that would have on medical research? Because, like, you know, the doctors would take the credit. They'd say, oh, yeah, my course of treatment is what really worked here. And then other doctors, you know, might start practicing that ineffective form of treatment, or we might waste a lot of research at the very least trying to reproduce the other doctor's results and failing.
Well, I wasn't until you just said anything.
Well, see, no, I mean, there's so many downsides to just about any power that actually affects other people.
that's the better reason just to do it on the sly, Jonathan.
I guess so. I guess what you really want to do is, depending on how effective it is, maybe you want to find the people that medicine has given up on. You know, someone who's like in hospice care or something like that. I shouldn't characterize hospice as having given up on someone, but you know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean. Yeah, it's not, that's fine.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
And I think that's good, but like you agreeing to take on that ability, like you're committing to changing the course of your life, basically. I mean, you're not, whatever job you happen to do now, you're not sitting around and doing that shit if you can go out and cure cancer. Right.
It would. Yeah. And it would weigh on you because, you know, that ability doesn't mean you're not going to age or, you know, die or get injured or things like that. You just have that ability. So, of course, like I would have to think that just taking a vacation and hanging out on the beach, you're going to feel bad about it because it's like, oh, during the course of this week that I just hung out in Acapulco, I could have been, you know, saving lives.
Yeah, right? that's what kills me about Superman. That dude, every minute of every day, all he has to do is listen for a second and he can hear hundreds or maybe thousands of people around the whole planet who need his help and in some cases are calling for him specifically. And he's got to take a break sometime. And it's like,
that would suck.
Yeah,
that'd
like suck. You hear a building collapse in Chile and it's like, oh, there's people who are saying, you know, ayúdame Superman, and you're like, fuck, man, I gotta use the bathroom. Can it wait? Can you give me like 15 minutes?
I think that's why I need a superpower that I can be cool with, and that I can, I don't want to say profit off of, but become, you know.
Well, look, think about it this way. If your ability to heal people had that trade-off of it takes a lot out of you, that's a built-in limit to what you as an individual do, right?
Yep.
So that's a very important parameter. I think that actually even would change my answer. If I were offered the ability to heal people, but it took a lot out of me, I think I'd be more, this is terrible, but I think I'd be more apt to take that just because it would be easier on my conscience to not use it for a few days. Right? Like every time I do this, I have to take a sick day, or like I'm laid out for a week or something like that.
Yeah. It depends on how bad it is. Like what kind of toll it's going to take out of you.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, you could do that with any power really. Like, is there some drawback or weakness that comes along with it? And how does that change the answer?
I think I'd have to say yes to healing though, just because, man, if you pass on something like that, like if I pass on being able to read people's minds, I might think about it later and be like, did I do the right thing?
Yeah.
But I think I would know, yeah, I did the right thing. But if you pass on being able to heal, like, man, you're always going to know you did the wrong thing. Yeah. Like you just fucked over humanity.
Right. What about something simpler like flight?
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course. It's fun, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you can't use it very often because, again, as soon as somebody sees you just flying around, you know, like taking off and landing, you're like, oh, well, I could only fly at night and I would go out over the, you know, high enough in the sky or something. But like, you're going to get caught. And as soon as you get caught, flight doesn't make you invincible.
Right.
Like, somebody's going to shoot you down.
Right. And if I fuck up flying and crash, it'll probably kill me. And I can't fly like super high or anything because I still need to breathe and whatnot, I assume. So like, it's very limited, very constrained.
Yeah. But it doesn't hurt to have it. So you just say yes. And even if you only use it every once in a while, you're good.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Like even if you never flew, I think probably like super swimming might be more useful than flying though, because you could probably get away with swimming a river or like out in the ocean to get somewhere without being tracked as readily as if you were flying.
You'd have to be really super at it though in order to evade like what's in the ocean, because if you just think, oh, you know what, be cool to, you know, like I could more quickly than I could, you know, book a plane and get, you know, across the Atlantic, I could just swim it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if that's true, if your ability is that good, like, there is a lot of shit in that ocean that I don't want to have to deal with, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. I probably, and like, it'd be a hassle to like take any luggage with you, or, and you couldn't travel with anyone else. So
unless you got the full on Aquaman skill set, right? Then that's fine.
You
got
to be able to breathe water too. You'd be
talk to them, be friends strong. With, you know, all the, I mean, then, but then you got a whole host of superpowers, not just really one.
Yeah. Right. What about like intangibility, the ability to like walk through walls and things like that? I think I might go for that.
Of course. Yeah. What's the downside to that?
Yeah. Probably not anything except like, if you're not good with the control, maybe you go half solid while you're halfway through a wall.
I'm assuming, again, like you can learn how to control these things.
Okay, but you still have to learn, which means you still have to make mistakes. And those are gruesome mistakes waiting to happen. Like, I probably wouldn't, if I had to learn how to teleport safely, I wouldn't take teleportation. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Oh, teleportation and being able to like walk through walls and stuff, those are some of the better ones, right? Because that's super useful. Like, it'd be harder to get caught doing it. You could certainly get into places you're not supposed to be. You can use it to help others and to benefit yourself.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, there's easy ways you can think of in order to use either of those abilities. I mean, even if it's just a, you know, pop into a bank vault and take the money, right? Like, okay, cool, good for me. And then I can Robin Hood it out if I want.
Yeah.
I don't have to keep it all.
Yeah, that's true. I think, I don't know. I think that's one of those things, though, like your ability to do it would lead you to trouble that you ordinarily would never have gotten into, though. Like, even with your example of just popping into the bank vault to redistribute a little bit of cash wealth, the bank knows what serial numbers bills it has. Except for like the, you know, deposits that they take at the counter. So like the cash that they keep on hand, if those bills go into circulation, they're going to know it was theirs. I'm assuming that.
Yeah. But I think if you played extra safe and you start small, you know, like you could get good enough at it on your own. I think you could evade, you know, apprehension.
Yeah. You'd have to go to a lot of banks, I think, to really get your practice under your belt, because you don't.
Well, first of all, if you take it, like, I mean, just go somewhere else across the world, like somewhere completely far away. And if you're gonna, you know, distribute it, I mean, there's plenty of poor people all across the globe.
Sure.
Like, if you take from a bank, you know, wherever in the United States, just go to a different country and give it away.
How about super speed? You going for super speed?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like I'm saying, man, I think you're going to have to convince me that any of these are things I wouldn't want, right? Why wouldn't you want super speed?
Well, if it had the downsides that, like, we've seen on the Flash TV show, for example, where he has to consume, like, hella calories in order to keep going. Is that still a thing? Do they still do that on that show?
I don't know. I haven't watched in a couple seasons.
Okay. I'm going to assume that's true.
I think they just kind of laid that out there in the beginning and then just didn't feel the need to like show Barry eating all the time, right?
Oh my God, I can't believe I did this. I watched the fucking Snyder Cut. And would you believe it in the
whole thing?
Yeah, dude. And would you believe it in the Snyder Cut? And maybe this was in the theatrical. I didn't watch the theatrical release of Justice League. But in the Snyder Cut, at least, they actually do talk about how Barry has to eat a lot more food than a regular person, and they show him like walking around with a whole pizza and stuff like that, which I really related to.
Is that okay? So that is, it is Barry, that's the Flash in that one.
Yeah.
Is that getting made? Are they still making that movie, the Flash movie?
I don't know. I'll tell you this, I'm not interested in it after seeing his performance. I don't think he's very good. So
I really liked the CW Flash for years. I mean, I don't watch anymore, but that's not because I don't like it or think that the guy didn't do a good job. Grant Gustin,
yeah. It's just that you can't watch the exact same season of 20-something episodes over and over, but so many times.
So many episodes, right? And it's like, I mean, I like a lot of shows that are like 10 to 12 episodes and then are done after five seasons, right? that's great. But, you know, I understand you got something, it's working, keep it going kind of thing. But I don't know. It loses me after so much of it. So, but all right, if they do another, you know, multi-show crossover event, which I have no idea if they're doing this year, but if I find out they are, I will watch it.
Yeah, of course. Those are fun. What about something like the absorbing man's ability to transform himself into any substance that he touches? You know, he could turn into water, he could turn into steel, like change his body, change his form, basically.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
How?
I mean, I'd have to think about how I would use it.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason to pass up on it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess he doesn't have any, like, particular weakness or any other kind of like vulnerability or drawback just from being able to do that. So that seems like a pretty okay one. What are some other things, man? How about like a super intelligence?
That's a tough one, right? Like who has super intelligence?
If you're looking for like specific comics characters, certainly Superman does, although they don't really emphasize that aspect of his character that much. The Thinker in Marvel Comics is a villain, but there he is. Reed Richards is super intelligent. They even say from the Fantastic Four, you know, they even say that like his stretchy powers, it's not just making his arms and legs longer, you know, like he actually can change the shape of his mind and stretches his brain cells and stuff like that. So he can like reconfigure the way his mind works and stuff.
So the thing about super intelligence, that the first thing that comes to mind is that it's going to, again, it's going to isolate you and make you, because you can't turn it on and off, right? It's not like, hey, I can fly. I just am not going to use it right now.
Well, you
it's
can,
like,
I mean,
you're always going to be like, as soon as you're like, yeah, I'll take it, like that, boom, right now I'm super intelligent. And that is going to make it hard for me to relate to, you know, normal people.
Well, you could always drink heavily. That'll dumb you down temporarily, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm super intelligent. Like, at the same time, like, I'm not immune to hangovers.
That's true. But you might invent the cure for hangovers with your super intelligence.
Yeah.
Probably not. I kind of agree, though. Like, I wouldn't want to change, like, fundamentally who I am in terms of my personality. And I think that's something that would fundamentally change me in a way I'm not comfortable with. I want to avoid that sort of profound transformation, if at all possible.
Right.
So, like, right. I probably wouldn't want to take many, like, extrasensory perception type powers. Remote viewing could be cool and wouldn't really change me fundamentally. But something like X-ray vision, holy shit, you're literally looking at the world completely differently. Like,
yeah, but it's not 100% all the time, right? You turn it on when you want. No,
that,
it off
no, that's true. But like, you would, because people aren't going to like know that you're doing it by and large, right? So you're going to find yourself slipping and doing that shit and acting on what you see all the time. And like, over time, that's going to change the way that you relate to like physical space and other human beings. And like, maybe I'm making something out of nothing, but I'm kind of uncomfortable with that idea.
It doesn't seem that useful. There's two things I need out of this, right? I either need, and hopefully it's a combination of both these things, I need a way to capitalize personally on it and also altruistically, right?
Okay.
So, and I don't see either of those happening from that, right? Because I don't have Superman's other abilities. Like, I can't just, like, if I look through, you know, inside of a building or through something, like, I can't just, like, run over there really quickly or fly over and act on what I see, right? I just see it and I'm like, oh, okay,
well,
great. There's something happening in there.
Well, depending on the particular form that the X-ray vision takes, you could capitalize on it really effectively playing blackjack.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah, that'd be pretty easy, I think, to control yourself to only win enough to hopefully, as long as you didn't go about it from a complete idiot's, like, you know, like just like never losing and winning big hands immediately, walking in, putting down a lot and then walking out. Like, you could make yourself look like Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good point. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take X-ray vision just for that alone. Thanks. And look, there you go. Now I can be altruistic with it as well, because I can also, you know, clean out a casino and, well, fuck them. And then I can, again, just Robin Hood it out, right?
You might even be able to see through, like, lottery scratchers and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, this is handy. I like it. How did I not even think of this? See, that's why we do the show.
Just in case you develop or are spontaneously bestowed with X-ray vision, you'll know what to do with it.
That's the obvious one. Man, how did I not think of that? What else can I do with X-ray vision, Jonathan, in order to gain financial wealth?
You mean apart from, like, many, many forms of gambling? Like,
yeah, it would all be gambling, wouldn't it?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, you could go on, like, let's make a deal and really clean up, you know? Because you know what's in every briefcase. Or like three-card Monty. It's kind of small stakes, but hell, you'd know. You know, follow the lady. Well, there she is, dude.
I'm going to look away. I'm going to turn my back. Just tell me when you're done shuffling them. All right, let me see. That's her.
That's a good way to get a knife in the ribs, I guess.
Yeah, right. I don't know what's worse, taking it to a guy doing three-card Monty, presumably on a cardboard box in a street corner, or going into a casino and acting like an asshole and letting it ride on, you know, doubling down on like the least likely hand.
Oh, the dealer has one of those like color-changing strips on their vest. When it's exposed to radiation, you know, it changes colors. And so as soon as you turn on the X-ray vision, it's like, oh shit, someone's cheating, you know?
Is that a thing, really?
Yeah, you got to wear them when you go to, like, nuclear plants and stuff. They're, like, built into your employee badge or whatever. What's another thing, though? If you want to, like, make an honest living with it, it would come in handy, especially if you were, like, an electrician, because you'd know exactly where the wiring was in the walls.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, or if you, you know, worked on any kind of utilities, right, you'd know where the gas lines were underground and things like that. You'd be very effective. You'd never accidentally cut something. You'd always find it the first time you dug it up.
Yeah, but you can't let it on. Like, you can't just, like, yourself out to the power companies and stuff and be like, look, here... I'm just lucky. I know where it is every time, and convince them, because they're going to, as soon as somebody finds out you got X-ray vision, again, you're just ending up in a lab.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it'd be easy to bullshit like the pipes and wiring and stuff like that, because all that stuff is supposed to be like documented, and frequently it's supposed to be marked and whatnot. And so you can just be like, oh yeah, I did the research. I did my homework. I'm very careful. Like, I get it right more often than not. And maybe once a year you cut a line by accident, quote unquote, by accident.
I think I would just gamble. It'd be fun.
I think that's probably the easiest thing to do with it. I can't really think off the top of my head what other creative applications of X-ray vision could lead to immense personal profit. But if any listeners have a better idea, hit us up, mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com. Okay, so what's another power that we're not thinking of? That can't be all the major ones.
I mean, we've broke down all the things Superman has. he has them all.
Super breath, I guess. He does the icy breath to freeze things.
Yeah, he does do that. Yeah.
What about, like, Iceman has those powers where he can transform the moisture in the air into ice crystals. That could be fun.
Yeah, there's controlling weather is obviously
that's a huge one. Yeah, yeah. Right, I don't think I would take weather control, man. I would fuck that up. Like, that's too hard, even with training. Like, weather is like too big of a phenomenon, I think, for you to safely and responsibly exercise that power.
Can you do it on a micro scale? I mean, if you pass up on this, if you have weather control, you can. Reverse climate change, right?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, because look, the problem with climate change is we vent all of this, like, carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, right?
Sure.
Well, just because you can kind of control the weather a little bit, it doesn't mean that you can somehow vent the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. There's no weather that escapes the atmosphere, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe somebody smarter than I can. Like, I'm not going to get super intelligent with this as well, maybe.
You know,
if you can think of a way that you could...
Actually, you could make a dent in climate change with weather control, because all you'd have to do is hit all the billionaires with fucking lightning bolts and flood all their fucking plants and stuff.
Yeah, you know what? If you have weather control, you basically are Zeus.
Yeah. Yeah, just hit people with lightning bolts and you're good.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I like it. And on a micro scale, if you could just sort of, you know, zap lightning bolts out of your hand, right? That's not causing a hurricane in the next state, right?
And you can send some hurricanes some ways, or they could do some good.
Yeah, exactly.
And divert some that are already going some ways where that you don't want them to go.
But see, that's the thing, right? You're diverting. You're not like snapping your fingers and the hurricane just disappears, right? That energy has to go somewhere. That weather system has to, you know, vent itself on something. And
well, a lot of them start out at sea, Jonathan. You just don't let them come ashore.
Okay. Well, but what effect does that have? Like, there's a reason that stuff is driven towards land in the first place, right? I don't understand, by the way, meteorology at all. It seems like highly complex and chaotic systems that we just have simplified mental models of, and we try to make best guesses according to those models.
No one understands it.
Yeah. So like, there's probably, if you're in fucking like France or something like that, and there's a hurricane coming, well, there's probably a good reason why. And if you were to divert it and just send it back out to the ocean, there's going to be unintended consequences to that. It's for the, like, that's the same reason that if I was offered time travel, I don't think I would take it.
What?
Yeah.
That's a different episode. Fuck that.
Really?
Yeah. No, there's no way. Of course you take it.
Okay. We can save that then. Let's see. We already talked about shape-shifting on a previous episode. And what else? What if you were able to grant people's wishes? Like, the genie says you can be a genie.
I don't know. No, I don't want to do that. Because how does it work? People are going to wish for shitty things.
That's true.
They're gonna be like, no, man, I don't want to give you that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's an instant decline. Telling the future.
Oh, there you go. Now that there's nothing you can do about it, like, are we under the premise that it's the future is set? Like, and so there's nothing I could do to change it. I just know it. That sucks. I don't want that.
Well, here's a reason why I might turn it down. If it worked, then that would answer the question of, is there such a thing as fate? And I don't know that I want to know, you know, like, even if free will is just an illusion, I kind of value that illusion. And if it turned out that, no, the future is completely set, we live in a deterministic universe, and even foreknowledge won't help you change it, that's kind of deeply depressing to me. And I don't want to have that confirmed.
Yeah, I would take it, though, because, again, it would be so easy to capitalize, like, in a Back to the Future 2 type of way.
Okay.
Right. You know the outcome of sporting events. You know the outcome of a lot of the things. But you'd also know how to benefit yourself and other people you care about. Like, you obviously, you can't tell everybody when a hurricane's coming and be like, yeah, just get the fuck out of the way, right? Like, maybe you can. But, you know, there's certain things that maybe you couldn't, you know, disaster's big enough that it, I don't know, like, you can't warn everybody, and that, I guess that would weigh on your shoulders a bit, but you could try. Like, you could definitely try to warn people about, you know, upcoming things.
Yeah.
But then again, like, if you say, even if you try and it just doesn't work out, like, because, you know, the future's deterministic, then I guess there's no point in trying to and knowing it if there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, right? And there's always going to be an event that you cannot reasonably have a measurable impact on, and you'll just have to live with the dread that this thing that you cannot change is coming.
Yep.
Like an earthquake. You can tell people, hey, there's going to be an earthquake, but you can't make them listen or believe you. You know?
Yeah, maybe you can... This is going to get you, again, just locked up in a lab somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you could certainly do something to prove to people that, like, you can tell the future.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like there you might not even make it to the lab, man. Like, if the government had reason to believe that you could, with 100% accuracy, foretell the future, they would just murk you. Like, just put you in, like, the ground.
Just... There's always a fucking Mega Millions or Powerball that's like a couple hundred million nowadays, right? It just seems that way. Multi-state lottery. Tomorrow, I could just cash in on one of those. And no one would think twice about it, right? Somebody wins those things all the time.
Sure.
I don't think anybody's like, oh, that person can tell the future, right? Now I'm set. Easy way to get a bunch of money. And then, I don't know what you do next. Try to help out some people. You could certainly spread the wealth at the very least, right?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe,
yeah, that's kind of nice.
But would you ever use the ability to tell the future again after you accomplish that goal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you'd want to know, like, where you don't want to be at a certain given point in time, and try to help people too if you can.
Yeah.
For the same reasons, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Let me think. We're coming up a little bit over an hour, actually. Some final big ones. Are there any X-Men that we ought to think about their powers? Cyclops shooting optic blasts out of his eyes, but can't control them.
A lot of those
really
are super specific things, right? You know, so that's the thing with a lot of the X-Men, I think, right? Like, I don't know, Magneto might be the first person that comes to mind, right?
Mm.
Like, would you want Magneto? What do you call Magneto's ability?
Magnetism.
Is it just called magnetism?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you want magnetism?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Right.
That's an interesting one, because part of his ability to control electromagnetic forces is the ability to sense magnetic fields innately in a way that we can't as humans. And I bet he feels a lot of things differently and sees things very differently than humans do. And that's one of the things that, like, never comes up in the movies or in the comics, really. You know, like, he can feel... Every moment he's in contact with, like, the magnetic field of the earth and can feel what it's doing, you know?
Yeah, he's probably one of those dudes that's like, he wakes up in the morning, he's like, my back's telling me there's a storm coming today.
And he's all the time probably walking around barefoot because he's like, it just doesn't feel right with shoes on.
He's a Magneto is an earther.
Yeah, exactly. That's an interesting character trait that I don't think I've ever seen in an X-Men comic before. Just glancing over at my comic shelf, reaching for anything else. The one thing that we really haven't touched on is just outright magic. You know, the ability to perform magic, sorcery, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's not a superpower. That's a whole different thing.
I agree with you.
Like, look, Magneto and Gandalf might seem like the same person, Jonathan, but they're not.
All right. Does like any given power being magical in origin change things for you? Like, if your super strength is the result of, you know, a magic, you know, blessing versus, you know, like a mutant power, like an innate inborn, you know, feature of yourself. Does that matter?
Do you have something in mind?
No, I just mean, like, you could be super strong just because you have a lot of muscles, right? And that's very different than being super strong because, Hercules blessed you with his strength that he had in his mortal life.
Yeah, I don't know if I call that magic or where this becomes magic or where this stops being magic. But, like, you know, there's certain, like... If you think about, like, a lot of times in comics, it's some kind of, like, science mm-hmm. fiction type thing that results in it, not necessarily magic, right?
Yeah.
It results in somebody getting some kind of power or ability, right? Whether it's, you know, the the blast at Star Labs or whatever it is that creates the you know, a bunch of mutants or whatever you want to call them. So I don't know, like if you're saying that somewhere there's, we always use the genie, right?
Yeah.
That would be magic in this sense.
It would be,
right?
Yeah.
So it's funny that we use that because that's completely two different things. And usually that's not the way it goes in comic books. There's usually not a genie offering you something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, no, I'm not going to differentiate between the two. Neither one are likely.
All right. Well, I'm not going to reach too much for another example. Instead, I'll invite listeners, if they have a superpower that we didn't consider that is maybe worth a little bit of discussion, please email it in, mailbag@noexpertspodcast.com. Otherwise, I don't have any new business. Do you?
No. And I think we've come to an agreement here, right? Really, the only one that's a solid, you know, a hard pass is, you know, the ability to read minds, right?
Yeah, although...
And the rest of them have more, like... like, there's some gray area in there. And then there's some that are like, yeah, sure, why wouldn't you? Yeah, definitely, you take that.
I want to put a little asterisk on the mind reading, though, because I think I would take telepathy, which is very different from mind reading, right? That's communicating mentally with someone. You're not able to read their mind. You can only receive the thoughts that they choose to broadcast to you, right?
Okay.
I would go for that because I think that's mad useful and could probably transcend language barriers and stuff. You'd be able to, you know, get your point across to anyone that you trusted to communicate with that way.
Yeah, it'd make traveling really cool.
Yeah, traveling, and it would cut down on misunderstandings, I have to think. How many times have you slipped up and just said the wrong word or the wrong turn of phrase or just didn't, you know, use the right tone or something like that? I have to imagine it'd probably be easier if you could just beam thoughts into each other's heads. But maybe not. I'd still take
it. Maybe we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll wait for...
I hope we don't.
Elon Musk to invent some kind of brain chip. Let me just be the first to sign up for that shit.
Well, in the meantime, like Jonathan said, if there's anything we forgot, let us know.
Yeah, and otherwise, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.